in His presence, you're going to feel a surge. I'm telling you, you might have come in here heavy, but it's going to lift. You might come in here weak, but you're going to be strong. You might come in here feeling a little bad, but I'm telling you, you're going to be standing strong when we get out of here. Amen.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
was a good and that so many little parties that you can call me a brave. I have a protection. Yeah, you can get that money. Can you have a protection that you can get a minimum? Or you can get a protection that you can get a minimum. If you have to get a minimum, you can get a minimum. To him, the corner opened his feet to his voice, and his callers, his answers by his leading to him. And when he prayed for his answers, he goes before him, and his feet follow him, so they know his voice. And his friends will hear them come, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice. You don't know who's
God. But what I can tell you is that in that instant, when it's there, thank you.
world will be when I'm calling. in the world to understand, because it seemeth to be neither knoweth he, but he knoweth him. But he knoweth him, for he dwelleth with him. You would say, bring to him and it's the king of the priest on this earth, that you would speak with God, you would pray to God, you would fight the victory of Christ to God, and as a result, you would establish his truth, you would establish his covenant, and his word would be on this earth. No one understands. And so, I'm
means to give you power over the devil that would never want to go. Was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest to the last
a worshiper, a worker. Let me tell you something. You should not work your job without the presence of God touching you. God says that He will bless the work of your hands. Listen, when I go to work in a natural place, I want you to know that I'm infused with the sovereign grace of God, and I'm going to do the job better than the man that's next to me. I promise you, at my last job, when I was working all those hours, every time I left the job, they had to split it up. Hallelujah. Praise God. Every time. I want you to hear what the Bible says to us here. Who by Him do believe in God, that raised Him up from the dead, and gave Him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. Now here's what I want you to hear. Seeing you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit and the unfeigned love of the brethren, see that you love one another with a pure heart reverently. I want you to understand something. Obeying the truth, which is the Word of God, obeying what God has to say to you will purify your soul. It will cause you to come in unity with God so that you will know right from wrong. Come on, listen to me. I want you to know something. You're going to know that God is speaking to you because God is going to protect you within His Word. And so when you're hearing the voice of God, I want you to understand that your confirmation that you're hearing the voice of God is that it better be scripturally appropriate what you're telling me. Don't ever call me and say, Pastor Phil, I'm on my way to defeat my enemy. Well, what do you mean? Well, I got my concealed carry, hallelujah. And I got to tell you, I'm under the divine sovereign call of God. I'm going over there, and I'm just going to get rid of my problem. No, 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 no. That would not be God. Now, it's going to sound good. Praise God. It's going to sound good. It's going to sound tempting. But this is what we know. Your enemy at work that's nagging in your ear all day long is not someone you can go shoot. It is someone you can pray for. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Now, if you called me and said, oh, praise God, Pastor, pray for me. What for? Well, I got this cherry cake and I got a card with a $25 gift certificate at my favorite purse store, and I'm taking it over to Evelyn. Well, who's Evelyn? She's a lady I work with, and I got to tell you, Pastor, I can't even stand to hear her voice. When she comes in and clocks in and I just hear her say hello to someone, it gets under my skin and aggravates me so bad I can't stand it. So right now, in the name of Jesus, I'm going over and I've made her my favorite pie, and I'm giving her $25 to go get a gift at my favorite purse store. Hallelujah! That's Jesus! I can shout the victory on that. Because number one, you prayed for someone that's giving you difficulty. Number two, you're walking in forgiveness with them. And number three, you are going to do an act of kindness or true love in their life. Now, here would be the exceedingly abundantly of that situation. She goes, uses the gift card, and comes to work with the exact same perfume. And you ain't even mad. You just sit your purse down to hers and say, hi, Evelyn. Let's have a good day at work today. Hallelujah. Woo! Boy, that's deep there. That's strong. That would be strong right there. I want to just tell you just a few more things, and then we're going to get ready to finish up here. The Bible says in the book of James, chapter 3, verse 14, what doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and have not works, can faith save him? Oh, that's James chapter 2. Here goes James chapter 3, verse 14. But that's very good. It says here in James chapter 3, verse 13, who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. Now, I want you to know that someone that's wise and has knowledge and has a good conversation, which means an overall good behavior, and that their works express meekness, is someone who's walking in the wisdom of God. And it says this, but if you have bitter envy and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. Now, what I want you to know is that when you hear God, you're going to know. Because it's never going to be a thought filled with bitterness, envy, anger, hatred, unforgiveness, a lack of kindness. It's not going to be derogatory. It's not going to be mean-natured. It's not going to be any of those things. Even if it's something where you see your brother stumbling or faltering, the nature of your conversation is going to be a kind word that turns away wrath. So when we hear God, we're going to know that God's word is going to be a building word. It's going to be a strengthening word. It's going to be a protecting word. It's going to help you, guide you, and lead you into things that are going to be a blessing for you and for whoever else you're involved in. Amen? Hallelujah. Praise God. Now, it's not my fault. It's Pastor Regina and Pastor Billy's fault. They went, you know, remember, they spoke before me tonight. So I'm gonna take a few extra minutes here and go just for a moment or two, just because I want to get to a couple examples here. Is that okay? Hallelujah. I want you to know that in John 16, the Lord says, these things have I spoken unto you, that you should not be offended. And then he goes on to tell us that They're going to put us out of the synagogue. They're going to, the time will come that whosoever killeth you and will think that he doeth God's service. And I'm telling you that in your life, there may be times where you are mistreated. There may be times where you are undermined. There may be times where people are yelling at you, won't speak to you, exercise you out of their life. There may be all of these things. But the Lord says that he has spoken so much in our word that we will not be offended. And we will be able to overcome and recover and go on. And really and honestly, in doing that, oftentimes you will heal those broken places and someone else will get healed because you go first. Amen? So I want you to know that all of these are parts of the element of hearing God. Now, before I go into some of the deeper things I will next week, I just want to share with you a couple stories where you can see how God has been speaking to people from the Old Testament till the New. And the first place I'm going to share with you is out of 1 Kings chapter 17. And some of you may have heard this story before, but we're going to find out that Elijah, which was a great prophet of God, there was a famine in the land. And this would be a good story for you to read because I'm not going to read it all. But there is a famine in this certain land. So God spoke to his prophet. And at a time of famine, he led him to a certain brook. And the Lord said, stay by this brook. And what's going to happen is I will cause water to run. But every day I'm going to have birds come and feed you. Wouldn't that be exciting? My goodness. I mean, he didn't even have to cook the meal. I don't know how it happened, who cooked it, where it came from. But I just know that those ravens delivered some good eats to that king. Hallelujah. Regina would starve, I'm telling you right now. If a bird came up and landed and put food down for Regina, she'd say, hallelujah. You think I'm eating some mess, some bird brought you? I don't think so. But anyhow, this man of God heard God, and so he was eating at this brook. But suddenly, I want you to see that God gave him a reassignment. In verse 7, it says, it came to pass after a while that the brook dried up because there had been no rain in the land. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. So he arose, went to Zarephath, and when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there gathering of sticks, and he called to her and said, fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink. And as she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand. And she said, hey, as the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but a handful of meal in a barrel and a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I'm gathering two sticks that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die. And Elijah said unto her, fear not. Go and do as thou hast said, but make me, therefore, a little cake first, and bring it unto me, and after make for thee and for thy son. Whew. Isn't this a hard scripture to deal with? Tell me what woman who has a baby and just enough food to feed the baby and her, and some man comes that she does not know and says, before you or your baby, feed me. And listen, he was eating at the brook here. God was feeding him pretty good. So he wasn't skin and bone. And this woman had to overcome all of that. And this is what he says. For thus saith the Lord of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the crucible fail until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. And she went and did according to the saying of Elisha, and she and he and her house did eat many days. Now I want to tell you something. Sometimes when the Lord speaks to you, it's going to be a still, quiet voice. But God could speak through a vision. He could speak through a dream. And sometimes God speaks in unique ways because of the depth of the situation that he's trying to help and be involved in. Now, here's what's amazing here. If you really read this and study it, you'll discover three or four things here. Number one, that God must have spoke to Elijah's spirit and in his heart where he could understand God. But also, he spoke in a way that was either a vision or a dream, because when he got to the city, he knew right where to go, and he knew how to identify the widow woman. I want you to know that one time I was praying for this big black man. I had never seen him before. I didn't know his name. And I was just praying and praying and praying. And I was praying over him for sickness and disease and stuff. I was just praying for this guy. And I said, okay, God, well, you gave me this assignment. I pray that things went well. And I pray that this man's going to be okay. Well, 2 years later, I ended up in a church with this big black guy. And I got to physically pray for him in person. But what I'm just telling you is that God can speak to us on a day-to-day basis. God wants to speak, and we should be able to hear him when he speaks. But sometimes God may speak through a vision or a dream. Here we see that God spoke in such a way that this prophet could understand where he should go and what his assignment was. But at the same time, God spoke in such a way that he could identify this woman. Not only that, but think about this. God obviously had to speak to this little widow woman, because guess what? You and I both know that in the natural, if you and your baby was about to eat your last meal, the last thing you'd be doing is feeding some fat little prophet that just came from the brook eating all the food he wanted to eat. Hallelujah. You understand? I mean, if I came up and you had a baby, and I came up and said, hallelujah, make you guys some food, but I know you've never seen me, you don't know me from Adam, but I'm telling you, make me a cake first. Miss Dawn, would you be making me a cake? In the natural, you'd be saying, dude, you need to get down the road. Amen. But here's what I want you to know. Remember God's word to Elisha. He said, I have already commanded the widow woman. So somehow God had spoken to her, and she knew that a man was going to come and she should feed him, and it would do something for her and her baby. Here's what also is amazing. Do you remember that even though she thought, is this what God was telling me about? She stopped. And he said, if you will make this cake for me, God has promised that the cruse of meal will not ever run out. When she heard that, guess what? She quickened and hasted and made that cake for him, because she had a revelation that God was coming and God was bringing her a miracle. Amen? Hallelujah. So I wanted to just share this with you, because I want you to understand something. Especially you who are young in the faith. God may speak to you about relationships. And you may have people who you've been around or you relied on, but they're also connected to some of the things God is trying to free you from. And I want you to know that you may have to make a decision to stop a relationship or to go in a different direction. And I want you to know that you are going to have to do that by faith. And God will provide for you. God will bring you into different places and all kinds of things. Hallelujah. Chad Smith, can I use you and Amanda for a minute? I remember that God told me that Amanda and Chad were going to get married. And I spoke to a relative real close to them, and I said, hey, are you ready for Chad and Amanda to get married? And they said, oh my gosh, yeah, we like him, but I'm telling you right now, they got this going on, they got this going on, and there ain't no way they're going to get married till this, this, and this. Well, God had spoken to these guys. I had heard it. So So the next thing I know, they came to me and they said, hey, pastor, we don't want our good to be evil spoken of. This is what we want to do. And I said, hey, I heard that you weren't ready to get married because of this, because of this, because of this. And Chad said, hey, pastor, here's what happened. He said, those things, we were worried about finances. He said, but I went out and I had a car sitting out there that's been sitting for a long time. And I said, okay, God, if you can sell that vehicle, then I can trust you and believe in you. And what happened? Someone came up and bought that vehicle that she had been having sitting out there for a long time, right? And they paid you a nice price for it, didn't they? And they used that as a faith seed to say, we're going to go ahead and obey God. We want to get married. We want to line up with God's word, because just that one experience gave us enough faith to believe that from this day forward, God will bless us. Amen? Hallelujah. Okay, can I have just a couple more minutes? Okay, I'm almost done here. I know you don't believe me, but I promise you, I'm almost done. Mark chapter 5. I'm just giving you another example, and probably every week I'll give you an example just so we can learn more as we get into the scriptures. But in Mark chapter 5, there's a lady who's had an issue of blood, and we're going to read here, because this issue of blood or this health issue had been in her a long time. And in Mark chapter 5, verse 25, it says, There was a certain woman which had an issue of blood for 12 years and had suffered many things of many physicians and had spent all that she had and was nothing the better, but rather grew worse. When she had heard of Jesus, she came in the press behind and touched his garment. For she said, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, who touched my clothes? And his disciples said unto him, thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and sayest thou, who touched my clothes? Touch me? And he looked round about to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. Now, I want you to see this. First of all, Jesus is in this big, huge crowd of people. People know who he is by now. They're thronging him. They're reaching towards him. They're asking him for prayer. They're asking him for all these things. And there's a woman that has been sick for 12 years. And did you see what it says? That she said within herself. Where do you think that thought came from? Hallelujah. It could only be God that would speak to her and make her think that he doesn't need to know my name. I don't need to say a word to him. In fact, I have an issue of blood, which at that time she would have been thrown out, thrown in prison, because she wasn't allowed to be around. And in her spirit, she was bold enough to just go and touch the hem of his garment. Now think about this. If there's hundreds and thousands of people around him, you've ever been at a sporting event or things where people are really excited and shouting and doing all this stuff, who in the world and how in the world would you know someone touched you? You wouldn't. Jesus said that within himself he knew that someone had touched him. In other words, spiritually, by the voice of God, he could hear and know that someone had touched him with faith, and some faith and power had been released to him and touched her. And isn't this interesting too? That while his disciples were saying, with all these people around, how in the world can you think someone touched him? But it says that Jesus turned and knew it was a woman. How would he know that? Because the Spirit of God spoke so clearly to Jesus that he could discern who, when, where, how, and why. And I want you to know that you can trust that the Spirit of God will speak to you clearly. Amen. Father, in the name of Jesus.